Shot One Kill, a Marine Corps sniper. He's written a new book with General Wheeler and Doorway to Hell, Disaster in Somalia, excellent book. He's an expert on the New World Order. He's a colonel in Army Intelligence, now retired. He was a detective, worked the Oklahoma City case. He'll tell you the globalists carried that baby out. And he's up to speed and knows the paradigm, and we're honored to have him back on the broadcast today. Colonel Roberts, good to speak with you.
Always glad to be back on, Alex.
Now, something might be wrong with your phone. You might turn the volume down or something.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Oh, it sounds good now. Good to have you on, sir.
I had to hit the anti-bug device here.
All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what the New World Order is, how we stop it, and then I've got some news articles I want to throw at you and get your take on.
Okay, well, you know, my end of this deal is finding the Achilles heels of what the globalists are doing. And about myself, I think most people know who I am, and they can go to my website and find out the rest at www.riflewarrior.com. Go over there, and it tells a little bit about me and my background and some of the things I believe in. I did 26 years on the Tulsa Police Department. All sorts of different assignments, from undercover to flying helicopters to SWAT team. I was one of the investigators that was assigned to help the FBI in the Oklahoma City bombing case, and had a problem with all the lies that I was seeing there, and did everything I could to try to expose what was really going on behind the scene with the Iraqi terrorist connections to the Philippines and all of that.
You almost called them Iraqis. I think that would be a good term for them.
It's one of those Freudian slips after you've been on the road for 3 days.
Iraqis, yes. Iraqis.
I think
the Mossad Iraqis.
We may have coined a new phrase we'll have to investigate here. But then I had a parallel career after 4 years in the Marine Corps on active duty, a year of which I was in Vietnam and, you know, in the infantry with a sniper rifle. I did a further 26 years in the National Guard and Army Reserve, most of it being an infantry officer, but the last 12 or 14 years or so working in the intelligence area.
And your dad worked overseas in some CIA projects, so you grew up around it.
Oh, I grew up in a whole family full of spooks. I think I'm the only non-spook there. So I had a lot of assets and resources to help me write some of the books, like The Medusa File and Killzone, that other people didn't have access to. So I was able to do a lot in that area, but it was during this time that I stumbled upon over and over the same names, the same money, the same power, the same agendas that are global socialist in nature, and basically...
And let's get it out right now. George Bush, Bill Clinton, Al Gore, they don't run the New World Order. Titular heads.
Well, yeah, it goes up a lot higher than their pay grade. It goes up to guys like Kissinger and then, you know, the Rockefellers and all that bunch, but it goes even above them. It goes to names we probably don't even know that are the voices behind the voices behind the throne.
Well, I mean, with Crumps, Rothschilds, Sachs, Coburg, Gotha, those type of names.
And you've also got some Mings and Lings and Sachimos and Kachikos in there. I mean, we have Asians in this thing. We've got, you know, of course, Russians, European monarchies, big bank players, and so on the side of just pure evil. That their thing is a New World Order, the global socialist gig, where they what they're doing, and we're seeing it happen in our lifetime, is that they have created a new world status. Now, the new world status is simply this. We have the first world, and we have the third world countries. We knew who the third world countries were. We knew who the first world countries are.
We're going to all be lowered to second world status, and that's happening where the Federal Reserve pushes right now to lower the dollar. That's their policy.
Well, it's a multifaceted attack, and if you plotted this out with military generals, you couldn't have done a better job. You destroy the borders by two things, laws such as NAFTA and GATT, and at the same time, don't defend them.
Well, that's how the EU began, as a, quote, trade deal. They mislabel things. Now they admit it's the Union of American States. And now, you hear this, U.S. Army recruiter crosses Mexico border. They admit they're recruiting illegals and legals, and the news tries to deny it, Colonel.
Well, and the thing about it is, you can catch them red-handed, but you'll never hear about it because it'll get spiked because the media is totally controlled. Print and electronic media totally controlled, and other than shortwave radio and a few newsletters and websites, unless you dig, you're not going to find out what's really going on.
Well,
because
you know,
what
we're
they
now
do.
On in Boston, D.C., New York. Why don't you say hi to folks in D.C., Craig?
Hey, all you guys in D.C., I know you remember me. I've been there a few times.
So, what would you say to folks at the Pentagon and in Congress and others that We've read in the Washington Times morale's the lowest it's ever been. Why is that, Colonel?
Well, you know, it was real low during the Clinton era for a lot of reasons. I think morale is up right now over this Iraqi thing.
The general troops, they said, the Washington Times said the Pentagon.
Oh, the morale at the Pentagon. Well, you have two classes class entities at the Pentagon. You've got the it's very interesting that you open that door, because my friends of star ranking up there have told me in the past that you have two cliques. You've got the nationalist clique and you've got the globalist clique. And the word is pretty filtered down through the ranks that unless you do a stint on the UN side of the house, the blue hat side, or do a stint with the Council on Foreign Relations or something along that line, then you don't consider getting more than one or two stars.
By the way, now they're showing a lot of generals on TV. It'll say former general and CFR. What is the CFR for those that don't know?
Well, the Council on Foreign Relations is the American branch of the Royal Society of International Affairs in London, which is the old roundtable group sponsored by the Bank of England, which is basically the Rothschild family. They're the international globalists that started here in the 1920s, I think around 1926, and goes back to Edward Mandel House and the Rockefellers and all of that. But they are directly linked to the monarchies of Europe. They're directly linked to the Rothschild families and so on. And these people are the ones that for the last 200 years have tried to control this country by using a monetary system against us. And Lincoln ran afoul of them, and he was assassinated. Kennedy ran afoul of them. He was assassinated. And every time you try to tinker with what they've set up in the Federal Reserve System, you know, the dog's just not going to bark very long. So basically the CFR now controls all three branches of our government by putting members of their organization into staff positions, including the Pentagon and including the military ranks, including the service academies. The White House staff always has between 60 and 80 CFR members. So when you see General Barry McGaffrey pop up on the TV screen as a talking head when we go into some country and it says member of the CFR, they don't even hide it anymore. They're coming right out and saying, I'm a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. Like, that's like being a Rhodes Scholar, supposed to be some kind of great deal. And when you dig behind the scenes, you find out Rhodes Scholars are nothing more than little globalists who are trained show dogs to further the agenda of the Roundtable Group, which is the Royal Society of International Affairs in London. The same guys that get involved in all kinds of things that stretch everywhere from the streets of Punjab to Bohemian Grove.
For those that don't know, the globalists called for a totally enslaved country, no borders, children taken by the state at age four, trained in dormitories, an 85% tax rate, troops on the streets, a living Hades.
Well, they have a vision of the future being one that is totally controlled for their own safety and well-being, and they can't have the masses rise up against them. So basically, it's disarm the masses and keep us so busy doing something else.
Was it any surprise when the errand boy Bush, who's just a puppet like Clinton, is trying to reaffirm the Clinton gun ban, the magazine ban, and wants more gun control?
It didn't surprise me. The only two difference between Republicans and Democrats at that level is if the Democrats vote to burn down Washington, the Republicans want to phase it in over a two-week period.
Ah.
The end result is the same. Because when you get to that level, as our congressman here found out as a freshman, and he replaced Steve Largent and went to Washington, he came back and his eyes were wide because he learned that he didn't really represent us. He represented the good old boy group in Washington, and if he wanted to play along, then he would have money for re-election. He would have perks and pennies. He would be given, you know, some choice assignments. If he didn't want to play along, he'd be shoved in a corner and the door slammed on his face and stand a very little chance of being re-elected. Because, you know, it's like, I think it was Lenin or Stalin won. As a Stalin that said, it doesn't matter who votes or how many votes. It matters who counts the votes. And these people control the vote counting, too. So, you know, we get into this kind of a scenario, and we have a deal where Washington is totally out of control of the people, and they do what they want to do. But Washington is only one tentacle of the beast that stretches all the way to London, to Frankfurt, to Basel, Switzerland, and to Moscow.
Yeah, let's make that clear. This whole fight between the EU and the U.S. is totally staged. The shareholders own all our central banks. They're having America play the part of the bad cop right now while legitimizing the bloodthirsty U.N. of the third world as the peacenik, when that couldn't be further from the truth. And it's all one giant amalgamation. Now, there's been a lot of news of government-sponsored terrorism coming out. I've got the London Guardian and the Belfast Telegraph today. Top double agent in IRA guilty of up to 40 murders. And it turns out the head of the IRA's intelligence and terror arm was a British agent, and that he carried the terror out for the British government as a pretext to have a militarized Northern Ireland. Now, we saw Putin blow up the apartment buildings. That's now admitted fact. We see what's happened with these other terror attacks. How important is government-sponsored terror to the globalists to get control of our lives?
Well, it's one of the oldest tricks in the world, you know. I think this thing goes all the way back into biblical times, because if you look at the Reichstag fire, it was a means to get the German people behind Hitler, and Hitler to take over and subdue the communists. He blamed the whole thing on the Communist Party. And then, of course, they staged a bogus Polish army attack on a German radio station across the border into Germany so that they could attack Poland. Blame it on, hurt yourself, blame it on the bad guys, use the media to gain control of the minds of the people. They did the same thing in Oklahoma City. We definitely linked McVeigh and Nichols into these Iraqi Republican Guards, down to the names of them, down to enough to arrest them and probably convict them, but the government didn't even want to take the information. They didn't even want to know about it.
That's because, and in the new film we have the L.A. Times and the Washington Post from 93, Congress says bringing in Iraqis dangerous. These guys were brought in by Bush and Clinton. They worked for the CIA and had ties back to the 70s and 80s. They didn't work for Saddam.
Well, they worked for whoever gave them orders, and whoever gave them orders wanted a building in the heartland of America to go down for several reasons, and one of them was to help pass the Omnibus Crime Control Act of 1996, which was basically I would call it the Patriot 1, and then the others would be the Patriot 2 and 3, because it was the predecessor to the other two. It was the one that had such ridiculous things in it when you read it, that if three guys got together in the woods deer hunting, and they happened to be in camouflage, clothing of it doesn't matter what kind, and have rifles and be standing.
You haven't heard in Minnesota and Illinois and places they're actually raiding deer hunters now and arresting them, saying they're engaged in paramilitary.
Well, that's what this was. This would designate them as terrorists undergoing terrorist training. It also the deal, of hiring Hong Kong police officers to serve as national police in the United States.
Oh yeah, and now they've signed the deal for Canadian and Mexican troops to come in during terror attacks and during top off too. They admit Canadian troops on our soil. Is that a concern to you?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you got any foreigner on our soil trying to do anything to enforce any kind of laws in this country, it should be a great concern.
I mean, the military involvement in law enforcement is bad enough.
Yeah.
They just said they want to get rid of Posse Comitatus. Why is that the hallmark of a police state?
Well, that's the one thing that we put in after the Civil War because of things that the Union Army did in the South to keep the military separate from civil law enforcement. Because, number one, the military gets heavy-handed. The military is designed to go places, break things, ruin real estate, and kill people. It is not designed to go in and deal with communities. And because of that, you don't want power shifted to the military branch and put it in the hands of generals and so on, because, you end up with, exactly as you said, a police state, which we did have in 1865, 1866, 1867, until they finally got Posse Comitatus to pull the military out and send them west.
I had family raped and killed in East Texas. We have tombstones at family cemeteries that say killed by Union soldiers, women, children.
And that's what happens when the military gets out of hand.
Our hotel in Teague, Texas, was burned to the ground.
So what they did is they put the shackles on that with Posse Comitatus. The problem was they wrote it only for the Army because that's all they were worried about at the time. Because
now they can use Marines and others.
But they found out they could use Marines. They found out they could use naval personnel. And guess what? In 1947, when they separated the Air Force off of the Army, they can use Air Force personnel, and they don't violate Posse Comitatus. So they found a way to do an end run around it.
Absolutely. And I've had the former JAG officer on, who's now a professor in Chicago, and he said in 96 was already gone. They're now just letting us know it's gone, using the terror as an excuse. Colonel Roberts, I want to talk about this headline here about how America's now a global empire. Talk about any key issues you want to discuss and take calls. So please stay with us. I'm Alex Jones.
Blazing saddle, he wore a shining star. His job to offer battle.
Welcome back. We're we're moving fast. We've got Craig into the next hour. We're going to take your calls. Folks, you don't want to live under this New World Order, and they've got us all debating Bill Clinton, Al Gore, George Bush. They're not running anything, folks. They're puppets, bottom line. The New World Order agrees on the same agenda when it comes down to the bottom line. That's enslavement of you and your family, and we better cause a real debate in this country. It's over. Colonel Roberts, how do we stop this thing? I mean, it's clear that we stopped their forced inoculation of 11 million people. The cops, the firemen, the medical workers said, no way, Jose. That's holding them up. They didn't get the Kissinger appointment over the whitewash commission on 911. They're not getting a lot of things they want through education or having victories. If we weren't doing this, they'd have had the New World Order in 1913. How do we stop the New World Order? Because the point is, they won't leave us alone. They're taking our liberty while claiming they're giving Iraqis liberty. How do we stop this thing?
Well, they've pretty much won the entire rest of the world. We are the last domino, and the one thing we cannot do right up front, number one, is give up our Second Amendment rights. If we do that, if we allow that to occur, then it's a done deal. We've lost. Number two, we have to educate ourselves and each other and do our homework and keep up with what's going on and read between the lines of the news and so on, and have guys like you and me running around, you know, waving the flag and telling everybody what's really going on and explaining it to them and translating what's going on. And number three, and probably as important as the other two, is take over our school systems again. Put them back into local control with monitoring from the parents and get them out of the state-controlled hands. Because if they win the minds of the children, they win. Because we'll be gone someday. And as an example, I just got back from Pasadena, and I spoke at the Southern California Republican Convention Association or something like that. And they expected about 200 people to show up. We had about 70 show up for an all-day deal. I was there. General Parton was there. Some other people, some other speakers were there as well. We spoke for a little over an hour. And I looked out in that room, and there wasn't anybody below the age of 60 in the room. I think I was the youngest guy there at 56.
Well, we have meetings here in Austin, and over half the folks are below 30, so we have thousands that show up and hundreds to any meeting we set. So we need more young leaders. Here's an example, L.A. Times. Many school texts distort history, slamming the U.S. and glorifying despotic regimes. I have one they use in Texas, a world history book. It says Mao was good, help the people, the Second Amendment is bad. Actually says that. And Josh Sugarman of Handgun Control Incorporated, the Violence Policy Center, says in our local paper, he said, we're going to get your guns, we've got your kids. So they know what they're doing, don't they?
Oh, they're trying real hard, and they're trying to convince us they've already won, and it's hopeless to fight against them. But the thing is, they haven't won anything yet, as long as we can do several things right now, and that is get back in control of the situation by getting in control of our own school systems, getting control of our own state legislatures. We've got to start at the local level first.
Absolutely. Listen to this headline. The American Empire, like it or not, it's reality. Embrace it. Get used to it. Chicago Tribune.
Well, I got bad news for those guys. It may be that way in downtown Chicago, but it's not that way in downtown Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas. So, you know, the majority of America right now, a lot of them are waking up. We're out here where we don't have a microphone to talk to. We're out here where we don't have a TV camera to broadcast to everybody, but we're still out here. And so the thing about it is the Army is huge. It's out here. But what we've got to do is we've got to start putting into motion a sequence of events to take the country back. And
we've also got to get focused on real issues. You know, on my show, in your presentations, we talk about real things. So many of the so-called patriots are off in la-la land with visions and flying saucers, and that's also hurting us.
Well, and all of that is diversifying the forces. That takes away from the main thrust of the thing. That's like just if we investigate the Oklahoma City bombing case, and all of a sudden we had all these different media guys launching us off into different directions to investigate the militias, investigate the right ones, investigate Pat Robertson, investigate Elohim City, investigate, you know, and when you start splitting your forces up, you dilute the progress of the actual mission at hand.
All right, stay there. Call's coming up. Bunch of other news items we haven't hit on yet. We'll get Colonel Roberts' take. I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.net, PrisonPlanet.com. We'll be back with your calls. Stay with me. Are you...
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Governments always get corrupt individuals in control of them. They always seek to maintain control and expand that control. They always flip out and get on power trips and start exterminating their populations for no reason other than the fact that they serve their father. We know who that is. We're joined by Colonel Craig Roberts, best-selling author, Marine Corps sniper, Army intelligence colonel, police officer. The list goes on and on. Your calls are coming up, 1-800-259-9231. Operation Top Off, Colonel. You saw the Road to Tyranny. You saw the fake nuclear spills, the fake bioattacks here in Austin. It's come out that the White House, under Clinton and Bush, ordered fake terror alerts to, quote, create hysteria. This is how they get us to get under their control. These are drills to practice federalizing everything, to lock down all the cities, the gun confiscation training. Now officials prepare for bioterrorism drill taking place from Chicago to Seattle right now with fake dirty bombs and stuff. And locally, they announced this nationally, locally, they're saying it's real, and hours later after terrorizing, saying it was a drill. How important are these drills? How does it tie into the EAS system known as Amber Alert, really a FEMA takeover system, and all radio and television stations? What do we see forming now under FEMA and Homeland Security?
Well, I think what they've done basically is create a secondary form of government that physically takes over at the push of a button. And it circumvents the Constitution, circumvents all the laws, and they do whatever they want to do, and they declare it as necessary for your own protection under national emergency.
They're practicing the activation of this.
Well, and they have been for a long time. They've had several different types of drills, but what they're doing is they're bringing it together into regional and national exercises to work the bugs out and find out what really works and to get us used to seeing it. And I think that's the most important thing.
So they're war gaming for the takeover.
Yeah, and at the same time, you've got to prepare the public to accept something as being something that's planned and it's for your own good and it's normal. You know, when you read the little bits and pieces and are able to put them together, and that's what I used to do in tactical intelligence, was try to take the bits and pieces of the reconnaissance reports and satellite photos and all that and put it together and try to figure out what the bad guys were up to.
It's not bits and pieces now. It's right out in the open.
It is, except it's not, because they don't make a big deal. You only see it for 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, they calmly report it like it's no big deal, yeah.
It's just like, you know, having a toothache or a pothole, and by the way, we rounded up 1,000 people today. It just passes in one ear and out the other, and it's mind-numbing because the people see this and they go on, but they're not thinking
about it. It's almost subliminal.
It doesn't mean anything. It is, except it's more out in the open. It's right there. They said, well, it was on the news, and no one seemed to mind. You know, when FEMA goes out and issues contracts to buy up, you know, hundreds of thousands of acres out here for relocation centers in case they have to evacuate the cities, and no one says a peep.
The Rocky Mountain News says they got incinerators and mass graves ready.
Well, yes, you've got to be able to handle all those infected corpses, Alex, don't you know? The problem is, who created the infections? And are they really infected?
Well, take England. It came out, the government released foot and mouth months before, got the counties ready. It turns out the British have carried out almost every bombing in the last 24 years to blame on their enemies. The Russians do it. Our government does it. So I guess the number one thrust is educating folks of who has the motive for the terror and then showing them the evidence of who carried out the terror?
Well, you know, you can take every bit of this and you can compare it to one prime example, and that was the Kennedy assassination. You can get away with murder if you have a throwdown. If you've got some guy you can blame it on and a little bit of background, a legend that's been built, and in the spook world they call it a legend or legend building, where you can say, gee, this guy's a communist because he was handing out communist leaflets in New Orleans, you know. So therefore he is a communist, and the communists killed Kennedy. In fact, it was probably hooked to Castro. In fact, we ought to go back and invade Cuba. So you see, what they do is they set the dominoes up well in advance, they war game it out, and then when they're ready to really push the dominoes over, it's a done deal. The media jumps in immediately and says, this is what happened. And everybody goes, ooh, yeah, this is what happened. What can we do about it? Well, there's two things. We'll protect you, number one, and we got to go attack somebody or arrest somebody, number two.
And that's exactly what Northwoods called for. We'll talk about Operation Northwoods and Colonel Roberts. We'll talk about how they pushed the big domino over with 911, but that was just the firing pin hitting the cap. Now the bullets left the barrel, and where's it going? What's going to happen? What are we going to see next? And your calls, Lou and others that are holding, 800-259-9231.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We go out on a growing list of wonderful AM and FM affiliates. We simulcast at Infowars.com and net. Global Shortwave from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time at 12.172 and 9320 at night from 9 to midnight Central at 5.085 and 6890. We're joined by Colonel Craig Roberts. We're about to go to Lou, Frank, Doug, and many others that are patiently holding. If 911 was the activation, not the summation, of a acceleration of tyranny and enslavement and New World Order control and mobilizing us to be the serf enforcers for the New World Order, what do we see happening down the road? They've told us a living nightmare of endless terror attacks, endless arrest, endless enslavement. They've already demonized and created this idea of all these right-wing terror groups that will have to be dealt with. They're going after our guns. They're getting rid of our borders. They're setting up this system. What do you see happening next, Roberts, and how will this go? How will this develop?
They've still got a few cards to play, and one of them, you know, you have to use terrorism to gain the fear and the obedience of the people, and they've hit all five of the standard terrorist targets: the private building, the public building, mass transportation ground, mass transportation air, and a large gathering of people, that being the 9/11 attack on the last part. But they can go back and start hitting those again in different parts of the country. The thing is, they've been preparing us and preparing us for two more hits that we haven't seen yet. One is biological, and the other is chemical. And under chemical, we can throw in nuclear, too. We can talk about backpack nukes and all that sort of thing. But I think the biggest threat we have to worry about right now is biological, because chemical is not long-term. It's hard to predict. It's hard to control, and it doesn't have that much shock effect compared to biological, because biological is frightening in the aspect that we don't know who's vectoring this stuff, where it's going, how it's traveling, if we're going to get it, if a member of our family is going to get it, and it makes everybody want to not travel. They want to stay at home. They want to lock their doors. They want to live in fear. And as long as you can put this boogeyman over everybody's own house, you gain total control of movement, thought, everything, because you can tell the people, don't leave home, don't go anyplace. We're going to put up roadblocks and checkpoints, and if we catch you out, we're going to have to put you into quarantine.
Did you read the Gazette News Service report where the FEMA guy in New Jersey said, under a red alert, you're an enemy of the state, you can't leave your house, we're going to take your kids from the schools, the FEMA centers? They said that is textbook maximum martial law.
It doesn't surprise me that there are people out there not only that say it, but are willing to do it. And that's the frightening part, because it makes you wonder who they're really working for.
Yeah, biological is perfect for shutting down cities, locking everything down, heightening the tyranny, and then it'll never really pull back from that point.
Well, once, you know, the federal government, not only here, but in every other government as well, once it gains power in a certain area, it never, ever relinquishes it.
And they've told us this is a new way of life. Everything changed. Get used to it. They were saying that within hours of 911.
Oh, yeah. And once they put laws into effect, they can say, well, this law is going to sunset for a certain time. Well, a Brady law sunsetted, and it didn't go away.
The assault weapons ban sunsetted. Patriot Act 1 sunsetted, but now they're saying they're getting rid of that sunset.
Yeah, well, they ignore their own boundaries, and they did that. Once you start a law or a bureaucracy or an administration or a department, it empire builds on itself.
Talk about Operation Northwoods, and let's go to some calls.
Well, I really don't know that much about Northwoods other than what you've said, other than the fact that it was typical at that time. But I think another part of what may have occurred at that particular time as well was a subplan.
The Zebra Team.
Operation Mandarin. And you may not have heard about that, but that's what I call it anyway, because that was the assassination of John F. Kennedy, where Oswald was programmed to go to the Texas Theater, be picked up in a car out back and taken to Redbird Field, where a plane was waiting for him, flown by a Cuban, an anti-Castro Cuban pilot named, last name of Novo. The engine was running. This is all documented. And he was going to fly him down to Houston, where he was going to be transferred over to David Perry, who was waiting for a phone call, had a twin-engine airplane ready to go to fly him down to Oaxaca, Mexico. Now, in Oaxaca, Mexico, they were probably going to take him out and put a bullet in his head, bury him in the desert, but they were going to swear up and down that he defected to Cuba. Now, once they did that, they could say the President of the United States was assassinated by a communist agent of Fidel Castro, so now we can invade Cuba. That is identical to some of the Northwoods projects, to where you create the scenario, you tell the people what happened, then you go do what you want, and they say, go get them.
Well, for those who don't know, on Infowars.com, we have a link to the National Security Archives, Library of Congress. You can go read the declassified document, 15, 16 pages. ABC News and Baltimore Sun, where they say that the U.S. government was going to hijack jet airliners full of college students and kill them, that the U.S. government was going to bomb D.C. and carry out sniper attacks in D.C., and even how to frame patsies on page 9. It called for attacking the Marines at Guantanamo with army dressed up like Cubans. All of this is a pretext for war. Now, that plan went to Kennedy. He said no, and he was assassinated soon thereafter. So why did the thing with their little minion Oswald fall apart? He decided not to go to the airport, got a bad feeling? Or
no, he went to the Texas theater, but his ride hadn't showed up yet. It got delayed. And while he was inside, he made one mistake. He didn't buy a ticket. He had the money in his pocket, but he thought, well, I'm going to go in the front door and out the back door, and I'm gone. He's not going to stop and buy a ticket. Well, when he did that, the ticket taker obviously wasn't in on the deal and called the police and said, I got a guy that didn't pay, and he's inside. Well, if by now they're looking for everybody that is suspicious, so that the Dallas Police Department shows up, and they grab onto him before he makes his getaway out the back door. By then, there was a car waiting out back, but no one showed up, so it drove off because it figured that the plan had been aborted and it went to plan B. So he gets into the custody of the Dallas Police Department, and the next thing we know, he's not allowed to talk to anybody, except he says, so I'm the patsy, and no, I didn't shoot the president. I think he figured out by then that he was the one that was going to be used for the throwdown. I also think that maybe there was a secondary deal where he knew he was going to go to Cuba, be blamed for it, and then he was going to defect to Cuba just like he did Russia, and then be another American James Bond trying to subvert Castro because he was tied into all of the Bay of Pigs guys. So, and once the CIA project gets going, it develops legs on its own, and who knows where it goes from there. You get too many players in the deal, and they all want to do their own thing. But I think the whole thing at that point was to be able to divert the attention away from getting rid of Kennedy for several reasons. One,
and then he was assassinated by their boy, Ruby.
Yeah, but there's a lot of people don't realize one of the reasons Kennedy was assassinated, of course, was the Federal Reserve, where he wanted to do away with that. That was the big one. But there was another one that really irritated the CIA. Besides telling the CIA he was going to cut it up, throw it 1,000 different directions to the winds, he was going to pull us out of Vietnam. But he wasn't just going to pull us out of Vietnam, Alex. This is the part everybody leaves out of the story. He was going to pull us out of Southeast Asia, which meant layoffs, which meant the CIA's cash cow at the Golden Triangle. You're talking 80 tons of pure heroin a year coming out of that place back in the 1960s, which went up to 800 tons by 1989, by the way. And it took them 30 years to get those concessions in the Golden Triangle, and they had transferred all the Bay of Pigs players to Vientiane layoffs and to they had Shackley and Kleins over there, all the big players in the Bay of Pigs bunch down at JM Wave in Miami. They had transferred all those guys to Vientiane and to places where they were going to.
Well, now look at Afghanistan, record opium production for your children to inject. Let's talk to Lou in Colorado. Lou, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Roberts? This is one guy that's not a youngster. I'm 60 years old. And one of the things I want to get from you first was your website.
RifleWarrior.com.
What was that, pardon me? What warrior?
RifleWarrior.com.
Warrior.com.
Rifle Warrior.
Oh, rifle. Okay.
Yeah, a warrior, sniper, carries a rifle.
Yeah, okay. .com. I got you.
Say it again, then.
RifleWarrior.com.
That's what I said, isn't it?
Right. I thought you said info, but I could be.
Okay, well, go ahead, sir.
But anyhow, I want to tell you guys, too, if you ever come out to around, the Denver area or something like that, either one of you, you guys got a place to stay free.
Yeah, I appreciate that, sir. What's on your mind?
Okay. The other thing is I had an article a long time ago that somebody gave me. It was called Blueprint for Tyranny, written by Donald Goldberg and Indy Bodwar. And it talked about how President Reagan could virtually suspend the Bill of Rights and call out troops in the name of public safety. And there was a part in this article that said COG is a secretive shadow government known only to a handful of officials that is in place and ready to run the country. Are you familiar with that one? It's called COG.
Well, whatever name they give it, they announced it last year. We have the Washington Post admitting a shadow government now runs America.
Well, COG is continuity in government. That's
right.
The program that came in under Eisenhower and Truman and all that bunch.
I see. And so this is all part of the same.
Yeah, and they're the ones that built all the underground bases and shelters and stuff. Your name and my name is not on the list to go there if anything happens, but they've got places to go.
And with all this national security anonymity and secrecy, they can do whatever they want.
Right.
And all of that COG stuff came right out of the report from Iron Mountain. It's out there if people just want to just do their homework.
Right.
Colonel Roberts, why would they announce early in 2002 that COG was in full control. I guess they have to, and they're telling local officials there's a new bill to federalize all the cities, and under that bill, they've already taken over New Orleans without even passing the law. I mean, they're publicly federalizing cities. Should that concern people?
Oh, absolutely. But you know how they did it? They did it with money. They got everybody on grant programs, and they federalized a lot of the operational aspects of the various city governments. And then they said, okay, now, Mr. Mayor, Mr. City Commissioners, and all you other guys, you now work for us. It's real easy to do if you've got a big enough checkbook.
So it's now happening. Anything else, Lou?
No, that's it. Thanks a lot, fellas. Some good work.
Thanks for the call. Frank in Louisiana, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Colonel Roberts, when the invisible government blew up the building in Oklahoma City, I have two pictures. One was the picture of John Doe with the cap on, and the other picture I have was a young punk from Germany. I forgot his name, Stadmeier or something.
Strassmeier.
What was the deal with that?
Well, Strassmeier was an agent that was put here. He was on loan from the German army, actually, and was brought over here to infiltrate the right-wing underground. And he had a hard time doing that because there really wasn't one. He got as far as Elwin City, and from there, he was used to help be a control agent for Nichols and McVeigh.
Yeah, so they had lots of throwdowns, Iraqi throwdowns, Army throwdowns, German throwdowns, and went ahead and went with the McVeigh angle. Thanks. Anything else, Frank?
Well, I just wanted to say...
Well, just stay there, then. I'll come back to you after this quick break. Be right back. Stay with me, folks.
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archives. And we are listener-supported with the Honor System. We ask that you wait. Don't donate a dollar at a time. PayPal charges a 35-cent surcharge on anything of a dollar or less. Wait till you listen to 5 or 10, and then donate, please. We appreciate your voluntary support.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCM Radio Network.
Colonel Roberts is going to stay with us for the rest of the show. We appreciate him taking the time out to do that. We'll tell you about some of the stuff we'll be discussing in Kansas City this Saturday when we both give a presentation there. But right now, let's go back to Frank in Louisiana. Frank, you had another point you wanted to make. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, when they didn't bring this guy Stadmeier back from Germany, that told me everything, that they were just covering this whole thing up.
The police actually got him, but Clinton ordered his release, correct, Colonel?
Strassmeier, that was hands-off. They were told not to even pick him up, don't even talk to him, and they had orders come in from every place, from Oklahoma City Governor's Office to Fort Bragg to Washington, to leave this guy alone. And the next thing we know, he disappears out of the country through Mexico and ends up back in Germany, and the guy that took him was Kurt Lyons, which it shocked me because Kurt Lyons was the lawyer that helped defend some of the Waco people and that sort of thing.
Maybe he believed what Strassmeier was saying, but the big deal here is that we have all these shadowy characters. Did they not throw down the Iraqi end of it because the operation was compromised?
Well, the Iraqi end of it right there, if we arrested the Iraqis, then we would have to find out who they worked for. And if we found out who they worked for, it might not go the direction that they wanted us to go to. Because we've got to remember on the incidents that happened on day one, the most important one was stopping all the rescue efforts within an hour of the explosion and pulling everybody out of the area and then going in and getting records out of the bottom of the building, and then those records drive off and disappear.
And then pulling unexploded bombs out as well.
Well, they got those out as well, and Terrence Yakey's suicide, which was actually a homicide, we think is because he's one of the first officers in the scene. He saw the additional charges on the columns of the walls that hadn't gone off that were linked together with dead cord. There's so many things that they had to do damage control on immediately after this thing started that it was incredible.
Now, the way that officer was killed, is that indicative of people inside the force or...
No, this guy was killed by professional hitmen, probably professional assassins. He had been tortured, his wrist had been slashed, and I'll be, by the way, talking about all this, and I'm bringing the information and the medical examiner's documents and the pictures and everything with me to Kansas City for those that can show up. on the Yakey case, because Yakey was taken out into a field. He was beaten. He was tortured. His wrist and his elbows were slashed. His both jugular veins were slashed, and then he was shot down through the top of the right-hand side of his head, down through his left cheek with a small caliber weapon with a silencer on it. We've got all the evidence of this, and yet we can't get the Oklahoma City Police Department's chief to reopen the investigation, even with all the evidence that he was murdered.
Well, it's like Fahmy Malik in Arkansas. People have their arms and legs and heads cut off, and they say it's a suicide.
Yeah, and what's incredible is the alleged American people, and I haven't figured out who the American people are yet, because it's you know, they're the ones that we're told wouldn't put up with any of this. Well, they've been putting up with it for years, and they put up with it in Arkansas, and now the people of Oklahoma City are allowing this thing to pass without raising Cain. There's a few people like us that are standing around screaming and yelling, but they always try to debunk us or put us off in the corner or ignore us. And of course, a lot of us have been threatened. A lot of us have been told to shut up. My house has been surveilled. I've been followed. My phones have been tapped. I don't care. You know, my ultimate deal is someday I answer to God, and it's what I do here that counts, and I'm not going to be a coward about it. So there's half.
Well, I mean, if you go to Vietnam and get shot at for what you believe is your country, you're certainly going to fight for the homeland now.
Oh, absolutely. But the thing about it is, our government isn't the United States government anymore. It's been taken over by criminals in there who are using it for their own personal agenda. They have to be identified. They have to be pointed out, and they have to be replaced. It's as simple as that.
Well, that's
the
problem, is that people think by cowering they're safe. No, these globalists don't know how to stop.
No, they want everybody to go into their little boxes and close the doors, and they'll deal with you at their own leisure. You know, somebody has to man the fort of the wall of the Alamo. Or the enemy's going to be inside the gate, you know, by dark.
That's it, folks. It's our children's future.
That's it.
Men standing up.
That's it. You know, I've had a good time. They can kill me tomorrow. It doesn't make any difference. I've had a good life. But my kids are going to have to live in this world, and I don't want them to. I already know what's going on. I can see down the road, and I don't want them to have to deal with that, especially when they're not as equipped as we are.
Well, I'm a lot younger than you are, but I've already made that decision. Standing up against pure evil is something we've got to do. And you know, before I'm like, there's no way I can stop myself. There's no way I can quit what I'm doing, even though I know the cost, because if we weren't here fighting, it'd be much worse right now.
Well, I tell people, look, it's just, you know, everybody gets fearful, and they say, well, they're so big and there's so many of them. And I say, look, it only took a handful of Spartans at Thermopylae to hold back the whole Persian army, and could have done it indefinitely had it not been for one spy that took the Persians around through the mountain passes behind them till they surrounded them. So it was treachery that did that, but still, it just goes to show it. A small group of people can make a big difference if they're willing to stand up and fight against the past.
We're more than a small group, and the globalists only have a few thousand killers, and, you know, they're doing this whole thing through ignorance, and that's why we have so much power. And our numbers are growing every day, Colonel. Our numbers are exploding. We'll come back and talk to Doug and others, and of course, take your calls at 1-800-259-9231 as we defend the Republic against enemies, foreign and domestic.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Black Berkey replacement.
Instinctive for me, when I found out how truly evil the globalists are, how deep the rabbit hole went, I have been stunned, and, you know, I do get this cold chill up my backside when I face just how bad it is, but instinctively, I have no other choice but to expose the New World Order, what they really are and what they're doing. We cannot give into this cashless society. We can only be dubbed as an Antichrist beast system, literally. And the horrible things they do, what they put in the vaccines, what they put in the food, what they've been caught doing, what their own public plans are, how they give peace prizes to people like Kofi Annan, who was involved in murdering 800,000 people. I mean, it's a sick joke. And we have the forces to educate the people of what's happening. But you've got to get involved in the fight, folks, and that makes us all safer. The more of a stand-up. Before we go back to Colonel Roberts and all your calls, and there's a lot of them I know, Herbal Healer Academy, folks, they've got pleasant-scented, water-based insect repellent. Very important. Natural pet and livestock products, free catalogs and newsletters, naturopathic correspondence programs that are excellent, home study courses, MSM sulfur capsules, olive leaf capsules, vitamin C, natural detox formulas, all these books and great information. You need to give them a call. You need to go to herbalhealer.com, herbalhealer.com, or call 870-269-4177 and tell them Alex Jones sent you to get the free newsletter catalog. It's over a 100-page catalog, a huge monthly newsletter. 870-269-4177 or herbalhealer.com. Colonel Roberts, when you found out about the New World Order, writing your first Kennedy assassination book, how did you acclimate to it? I mean, how did you? It's hard to face on the surface how evil they are. I mean, one case I keep using, 6 months ago it comes out all over the foreign press and even our press, DynCorp quietly convicted in the civil court. A DynCorp employee and a brave UN employee quit and said they're loading 200,000 women and children on C-130s, on jets, flying them out around the world to slave brothels. We're not going to be involved in this. And the two employees got fired. They sued. They both won. But DynCorp had UN diplomatic immunity. You know, Stalin said, you kill one person, it's a tragedy. 10,000 is a statistic. I mean, here's 200,000 kidnapped women and children. Imagine the movies, the miniseries that can be made of that. But they're given the contracts in Afghanistan. They're given the contracts in Iraq. They're doing this. This happens. And as you said, it's a blip on the radar screen. That's one of about 10,000 evils we've seen confirmed. These articles where the British, MI6, MI5, Army Intel, carry out almost all the terror as an excuse for police state in Northern Ireland. I mean, how do you get people to face the horror of this?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because I've been trying to do that for years. You know, I mean, people have read my book, The Medusa File, and they zero in on the chapter on the Finders case. And the Finders case is where all these kids get picked up and then they disappear into the white slaves, pedophile sex market worldwide, into places, you know, back during the Vietnam War, they were getting orphans out of North Vietnam, and they still get kids out of North Korea. They buy them for $10 a piece or something, you know. They pick American kids up off the street, and then we see their faces on the back of milk cartons.
And then they use that to put in the FEMA EAS system and call it Amber Alert.
And you know, you got to have a problem before you can have a solution. And so now when you go and you say, well, yeah, they're picking up all these people, but just think, they're having a better life. We're finding them jobs. We're getting them away from these poverty-stricken areas. We're getting them out into other countries where they can be taken care of and sponsored and so on. When you read between the lines and start investigating that, just how are they being sponsored?
Well, they're always catching UN diplomats with a basement full of kids or women. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Well, and that's exactly it. The more bizarre and unbelievable they can make it, the less people will believe it. They'll say, oh, that's science fiction.
Well, tell folks about the Finders case in D.C.
Well, that's the one where they found two guys in suits with a van full of kids down in Florida. They're on their way to Mexico. They'd stop in the city park to let these kids get out and exercise a little bit. And these guys weren't related to these kids. They said they were taking them to a school in Mexico. They did, and the kids actually were orphans that were, you know, lived in a place in Washington D.C. for orphans and yada yada.
And they were dirty. There were mattresses in the back.
Oh, the whole, and computer disks, which were the real find. And so they started investigating, working with the Treasury Department. Treasury Department customs guys started looking at this, and they ended up finding this warehouse in Washington. When they went in there, they found a satanic temple. They found a movie studio. They found cameras. They found banks of computers. They found records. They found all kinds of weird stuff in jars in one bookcase. They found records that went to different countries, including Saudi Arabia, Europe, Germany, North Korea, South Korea, et cetera, et cetera. They found out that they had an international child pedophilia ring, and they found tapes that showed different politicians in Washington in compromising positions that were obviously used for blackmail. You know, it's real easy for a senator to say, we're not going to give you so much money for your budget, and then you walk in and throw a tape on his desk and say, you better look at this tape, and then you better rethink about our budget, and all of a sudden you get your money. It's real easy to control people if you can control their personal reputation, and that's what these guys were doing there. But they were also making tons and tons of money with these kids being sent all over the place, and it linked up with the Franklin Institute. It linked up in Omaha. It linked up with the Mark Preschool. It linked up with Bohemian Grove and all the rest of that. Well, you take that, you compound it on an international level, and how many Bohemian Groves are really out there? We don't know. But we knew that this network had been discovered. At the very end, when the Treasury Department people came back in and they wanted to look at the evidence that the Washington, D.C. Metro Police had sacked up in this place and all these trash bags. They were told that it was sealed up, they weren't allowed to look at it, and that it was a CIA internal matter. In other words, it directly was controlled by the CIA, and they would deal with it.
And this is the problem with evil. You know, it starts with our men. Men, we know bringing heroin into America is bad, but it's just for the minorities. We've got to have this money. Congress won't give us the money to fight the communists. Lieutenant, are you ready to ship these drugs in? Yes, sir. For America, I'll do it. And then over time, they find more and more evil people till it grows to it's just a business, heroin and cocaine. And, well, if we don't do it, someone else will control it, and we have to. And then it's, oh, we'll do it with these kids. And it just grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows. And it's just incredible.
Well, you could take a good officer or NCO, and you can corrupt them very easily. You start them out with a Patriot bit by saying these are controlled shipments, and you're part of a top secret deal because we're doing is tracking where these drugs go on the streets so we can arrest the pushers. And you're going, oh yeah, that's great. I want to help. Well, after you've helped transport some drugs for a while, they come back and you say, well, wait a minute. You know, how many pushers? How long does it take to arrest these pushers? And they say, well, this has escalated into a different. We've had mission creep here, and what we're doing now is we're taking the money that we're making off this to finance other missions abroad that are top secret. You don't have a need to know. And then you finally come back and you say, look, I don't want to play this game anymore because I don't think it's right. And they say, well, I'm sorry, you're going to play the game because you're part of it now, and if you don't, we're going to arrest you for drug trafficking.
And so most of the guys just go, hey, since we got all this money from this, you might as well take 10,000 of it. You know, your wife's back in the U.S., she needs the money. Why don't you go ahead?
You got your choice. You can take the money or you can go to prison. We'll arrest you and blame the whole thing on you. So now where you're at? And this has happened to lots of people before, and I have received letters from former CIA assets who said, I'm in prison because I was running drugs for the CIA, and when I was going to blow the whistle, they decided to blame the whole thing on me and arrest me and convict me, and here I sit in Arizona.
Well, they've caught him 100 times. Cops at an airport will catch him, and they flash CIA badges. They go ahead and take him in, and they get a call from the FBI saying, release him.
If you grab the copy of the Medusa file and just look up some of these cases, look up the finders and look up the different drug running stuff, look up the Iran-Contra stuff I've got in there, and the same names over and over, the same organizations over and over, and it's all documented, it's all there, it's all the resources to look it up, and I tell people...
Well,
Alex,
Senator DeCamp was hired to disprove the stuff with the savings and loan and the pedophile stuff. He found out it was true. Investigators, of course, were killed. And then a Virginia TV station attacked him and said it wasn't true. He sued him for over $1 million and won. And they've got the files. They've got all of it. They proved it. And see, for an average person, this is so evil, we can't even understand it. We're from a different world, folks. And now the people that are into this run the world. And look, it came out with the kids in the CPS in Florida. Run by convicted pedophiles, it turned out. The databases, everything. There's a whole underground bleeding and controlling, and of course the globalists have to have sicko criminals working for them because they'll carry out their orders and they're compromised.
Well, you know, the ways to control people are play on their patriotism, number one. Number two, control their minds and their thoughts. Number three, you could put them on some kind of dependency drug or something that they're dependent on you on, or coercion. Or extortion, or just buy them. And people who have, you know, evil in them will go that direction with very little resistance. They'll take the money, they'll take the drugs, they'll do it for fun. You know, they're perverts or whatever. So you can buy those people real quick, but they're not reliable. You want reliable people. You want people you can count on when you're going to be doing these things. These guys are just throwdowns. So the other ones, you have to coerce, you have to blackmail, you have to do something else to get these people into your fold. And one of the easiest ones is the Patriot, because you can take the Patriot and say, this is for your country. We can't tell you everything, but it's for your country, and this is what you've got to do because this is the best thing to do, and you got to do it because you're a good patriotic person. We've checked you out. We trust you. And you build this guy's ego up, see? And then after you got his ego built up, he says, okay, I don't need to know everything, but I get to go be James Bond, and you're going to give me some money and some operating expenses, and I get to carry a gun or whatever. And all of a sudden, this guy's on board. He thinks he's doing the right thing. He doesn't know he's working for evil until he's been there a little while. He's seen some of these things. He starts to ask some questions, and he doesn't get the right answers. At that point, he has a choice. Either join them or try to get away, and that doesn't always work. They'll either kill him debunk him, discredit him, or destroy him.
Yeah, I've found they're a lot more commonly go after anyone who's ever been signed up with them. They seem to leave people alone who've never had any dealings with them or never taken anything from them. It's like a weird rule or code. What is that?
Well, it's, you know, once that they've got a file, then they consider you an asset. It's once in, never out. But they have gone after people who are totally clueless. If they need somebody in a given area, they'll put their feelers out and they'll say, this is what we're looking for in this area. And if you just happen to pop up on their radar screen, they're going to go out and try to recruit you. They tried to recruit me twice over the years.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just talking about the globalists have some weird, that I've seen predominantly, I know they're sometimes different from that, that if you've ever worked for them in any way, then they have no problem going after you, you know, to take you out. But if you've never been involved with them, I've seen that folks that haven't been at any level, they tend to leave you alone more.
Well, yeah, you're the kind that if they just see a periscope, they're going to depth charge you. But if you're a battleship out there making a lot of noise and everybody's noticing you, they're not going to do anything to you. What they're going to do is they're going to try to either debunk you or discredit you.
Which they've done. I've been attacked by the New York Times, everything else you can imagine.
Yeah, but as far as physical damage, all that would do, it would be counterproductive, because all it would do is prove your point, and they don't want to help you prove your point. So,
well, I was told that the one time I got death threatened by the government was when Judge Walter Smith in Waco case wouldn't allow a jury. And I don't know who did it, but, you know, it obviously was from that quarter. And I went, and we protested, we pointed this out. I was building that Branch Davidian Memorial Church. They got very mad. And, you know, I got little messages that couldn't come from anywhere but the government. You know, the whole voice changer bit, the whole thing. You know, the stuff from horror movies, stuff from spy movies. And I just said, fine, I love my country. You know, so be it. And I told them. Whatever, you know, I don't know, and I've been left alone. But the point is, why do you think they'd be so upset about what we did at Waco? I mean, we just built a memorial church and exposed the fact that the judge wasn't going to have a jury.
Well, at that time, that was a sensitive issue that, you know, a seed can grow into a big plant.
That was when the whole investigation, it was big in the news, I guess. And
that's right. You were planting a seed, and they didn't want that to flower into a big tree that everybody was going to notice. You know, when I did the book JFK, The Dead Witnesses, I had 115 dead witnesses there that a lot of them died mysteriously just before they were supposed to testify. Well, the witnesses that are still alive today, or have been up until recently, were people who came forward and said everything they had to say right up front, and it was too late to put the cork in the bottle. So they were still alive.
That's like Jennifer Flowers when she's on Chris Matthews and she says Clinton's having people killed, and Chris Matthews, what? He goes, yeah, over 100. He goes, well, why are you still alive? She goes, because I'm on this show. I'm on other shows.
Yeah, because you stand up and you say, this is what, well, you know. Well, if all of a sudden, if they killed her, it would prove her point.
Let's take some calls. Doug in West Virginia. Doug, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, I've been a private pilot for 10 years, and I'm not an instrument-rated pilot, but I know that when you do open up a flight plan, you initiate a dialogue with ATC, and if you stop talking to them, especially if you go off course, and especially if you turned off the transponder, you would be...
Within 15 minutes in every case before 911, F-16s have surrounded you.
Yes.
And in the case of Payne Stewart, the Gulfport, 15 minutes they were around him, 18 minutes they were ready to shoot him down. They didn't. The
exactly.
Most controlled airspace in the world, nothing was done. Colonel Roberts, you want to comment to that?
Well, you know, once you initiate a flight plan and activate it and take off, then you're going to be assigned a transponder code. Well, you can initiate a flight plan and fly VFR on 1200, but once that you enter the air traffic system with a transponder code, yeah, you're going to be locked in on it until you land someplace or request a release into VFR uncontrolled. But as far as the what's happened since 9/11, it's hard for me to comment on what they do today, because I haven't been pilot command of an aircraft since then. I always try to ride in the back seat now with the flight attendant. You know what I mean?
Anything else, Doug?
Oh, yes. Well, Alex, I've been listening to you about 3 months. I didn't know about you before, but when this happened, you know, I couldn't believe the story. I mean, it was just so hysterical, you know, that kerosene, this magical elixir sent by Allah to melt steel of the infidels, and this craziness in the news media.
The Building 7 implodes faster than a building would fall. Only detonations floor by floor could make it fall in 3.1 seconds.
And I put it, I had a, I was in still in college, I made a web page that I just worked on just a little bit from December 01 to voting day, where, of course, voting day 02, of course, now your vote's not going to count because the Republicans are going to win by, what is it, like 18,181 votes. That's happened over and over and over. And anyway, I think that the thing to do is to be vocal, you know, in their face, because when I did this, I emailed it to every senator, every congressman, every state governor, every major media, and I said, this is, and basically I did my own thoughts, and I linked to just hundreds of other website people, you know, that will scientifically go explain, you know, different things. But no response, because I said, you know, I'd like to be wrong. Show me how I'm wrong. I even went to the FBI tips line a couple times and just showed them my webpage and said, look, you know, this is what I think. I think that Bush is a puppet. And what he did that day, you know, he knew before he left his hotel that that first building had been bombed. Why did he go to that school? Because since Truman's time, the biggest fear of the Secret Service is that a plane would fly into the building where the president was. They hardened the White House for Truman.
Absolutely. Got to let you go. Thanks for the call. Final segment with Colonel Roberts. We'll talk to Dave and Michael and a few others. And we'll also tell you how to get Colonel Roberts' books. They're excellent. My films. And we're going to be in Kansas City this Saturday. Colonel Roberts and myself, John Statler, will be there as well, and a few other speakers. From 10 in the morning until 7 at night, Colonel Roberts will be doing an incredible PowerPoint presentation. I'll be doing one as well. Stay with us. We'll be right back with the final segment. Got a lot of key information out today about the pure evil we face.
Thanks for listening to the
Talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Waging war on corruption, crashing the lies and disinformation. Real quick, Dave in California, then Mike in New York. Dave, you're on the air with Colonel Roberts. Welcome.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I got two things for you. One, I'm sitting here looking at a copy of the Washington Times. It was from 1988 when they broke a story about a nest of homosexuals that had been purchasing young boys and having them tour the White House and such. Do you folks remember that particular issue?
I do remember the Barney Frank type stuff and underage stuff, and I do remember some of that. I've got a 90s article out of the Washington Times where David Gergen admits wild things going on at the Grove, but Colonel Roberts?
Yeah, I remember that case specifically, and it surfaced for like 1 or 2 days and then disappeared, and we never heard of it again.
Okay, well, if you're interested, if you go to indymedia.org, you can find it. Some of the principals involved were Mr. Dutcher, D-U-T-C-H-E-R, Vice President Quayle's representative of some kind, and there's a couple other folks, Craig Spence.
Well, there's a lot of indie media sites. Which one?
I believe it's their main site, and you search for this. It was the Reagan White House sex scandal.
Well, remember Chandra Levy? This was even on Fox and CNN. It ended when it broke that she was involved in some type of weird satanic sex cult. Did you hear that, Colonel?
Yeah, and it didn't surprise me either because of all these other findings we have. And there is a huge satanic underground movement that's linked to the homosexual community in Washington, D.C.
And we're not the only ones saying this. I mean, this stuff pops up on TV.
Oh, yeah, and it's linked to, believe it or not, a place in Haiti, which, you know, we went to Haiti, didn't we? I wonder why. And so we've got this thing that linked down there, and there was an investigation going on down there, I think Port-au-Prince or wherever it is. And the records disappeared after we arrived during the Clinton.
And their president had been doing something weird.
Oh,
let's thanks for the call, Dave.
Yeah, Papa Doc.
Pardon me, sir?
Papa Doc Duvalier.
Yeah.
And Baby Doc.
Somebody do me a favor. Email that story to tips@infowars.com. I've seen it years ago, but I'd like to have it again. Mike in New York, last caller. Go ahead.
Yes, hello, Alex.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Colonel Roberts?
Fine.
Good. I have two questions, actually. You were aware of the Topoff incident today at the Chicago airport?
Well, government federalization, martial law drills, yes.
Right, right. I'm just wondering. There's also one going in Seattle, I think.
Yeah, martial law drills all over the country.
Right, I just wanted to get your point of view on that and what...
Well, Well, it's a martial law drill. We talked about that last hour, Colonel Roberts.
Yeah, and what it is, it does several things. We're going to have more of these pop up. They're going to go into a wider scale, coordinated with each other, and they're also flexing the communications networks on these things. And we're getting the American people used to seeing these things, so that if we have an incident, they're going to say, okay, we've already got this in place. Everything's going to be okay. Just stay home, and we'll handle it, and we'll keep you advised. It'll be
and nighttime curfews, running man world. Thanks for the call, Mike. Really do. Colonel Roberts, how do folks get your books?
Well, they can get on riflewarrior.com, www.riflewarrior.com, and order them right there. They can order them through their local bookstore, and they may or may not get them because they seem to disappear off the computer all the time.
You had best-selling books until you talked about the New World Order.
That's right. All the other books, you can get those any bookstore, but if you go to Medusa File or Kill Zone or Dead Witnesses or Doorway to Hell, you'll find it
hard to get. What's that number to order as well?
And it's 918-386-2715. That number is on the website, and it'll tell you also how to order the books.
Okay. Hey, I'll see you this Saturday, Kansas City, for our presentations.
Okay. We'll talk before that.
Appreciate you, Colonel. Yes, sir. All right. I'm out of time. I'll be back tonight, 9 to midnight Central Standard. If you want my videos, Police State 3, Total Enslavement, and I mean total, is out 2 hours, 37 minutes. 911 Road to Tyranny, Mouches of Terror, about 911. Get them. Get the book, Descent to Tyranny. Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order them. Or call toll free, 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or Infowars.com or net. And in 1 hour, I'll be on News Talk 1260 KWNX for our Central Texas listeners, 1260 AM from 3 to 5, filling in for their drive time host. So 1260 a.m. in 1 hour, back tonight, 9 to midnight. Get the videos, get the word out, defend the Republic.